I want to speak on a subject tonight that should help you both in the natural and in the spiritual. You know, on Wednesday night, I like to sort of do that with my... And it's called discerning the real truth. You know, if we look at the current events and situations, you hear all kinds of things. Misinformation, rumors, outright lies. And because people have an agenda. And people with good agendas give out the truthful information. But people with an agenda that wants to control people gives out information that is not true. You know, in the midst of all the information that's going around, it's sometimes hard to tell what's truth and what's not. And then besides that, they're changing it every time you turn around. And if it goes cross-grained to some of these people's agendas, well, they're doing everything they can to stop the truth. In fact, even on some of our social media deals, they're pulling stuff down if it goes against what somebody wants out there, and it's usually the left side. And I'm just going to say something. Y'all might not like it. I don't care if you don't like it. I'm going to say it anyway. There's a certain group in this country that is trying to destroy this country economically and every other way so they can take over and make a socialist country out of it. In a socialist country, the government tells everybody what to do, like we're doing right now. I was in a country that did that one time. 10 o'clock in the morning on Friday, they said, the government put out a deal, said all stations would close at 5 o'clock on Friday afternoon and open up again till 8 o'clock on Monday morning. And I asked the pastor I was with, I said, can they do that? He said, the government does that all the time. They tell us what to do. So that's my little speech, you know. But we got to discern what is real out of all the information that's given to us. You know, we're dealing with that right now. What is real and what is not? What is real about the spreading of this thing? First of all, they say this, then they say that. Now the CDC came out today and said all the emanating objects, packages, and so forth and so on can't transmit the disease. And yet they were saying you need to wipe everything down. How many of you remember them saying that? Supposed to wear a mask, and then they said, don't wear a mask, now wear a mask. I don't know. You know, you have to learn to discern what is truth in the natural as well as what people are saying on the spiritual side. Okay? Some people are saying a lot of stuff on the spiritual side. You know, some people say, well, this is a judgment of God. This is this and this is that. None of it's true because it's not in line with the Word of God. You know, I have two hand sanitizers here. This one here is a hand sanitizer. Kills 99.99% of germs. This one here is the same thing, but it's better because it has a face shield on it. Now, wait a minute. Now, you have to discern what is truth in that. Some people will believe that. You know, I believe that if somebody started bottling water and said it was gluten-free, people would start buying it. Come on now. One lady, Helen McInnes, I believe you pronounce it, said this, the mind is more vulnerable than the stomach because it can be poisoned without feeling immediate pain. You know, I was born in 1939. I know about the war. I was a kid during the war. And in 45, when the war ended, something started, and there's probably some people in here that are old enough to remember this. It was called a Cold War between the United States and the USSR. Now, people called it Russia, but it wasn't Russia. It was the Soviet Union or the USSR. And that lasted from 47 to 91. And during that time, there was a lot of arms build up on both sides, a lot of international incidents that almost led to the two superpowers, us and them, getting into it. And there was all kinds of propaganda going around. Some of it was true, some of it was untrue, some of it was slanted to make you believe something that wasn't so. But if you're old enough, you will remember that in school, we would have bomb drills, just like you have tornado drills. And we'd go out in the halls and cover up and do all kinds of things. Lynette can remember this. She talks about it sometimes. Because of the threat of a atomic bomb. And it was difficult to decipher what is really true and what is not true. And you're going to have to learn how to do this in the natural as well as the spiritual. If you're going to be successful in business, if you're going to be successful in life, you know, you're going to have to decipher these things. And I'm really glad to see families here with the kids, the small kids. And if they make noise, don't worry about it. Don't bother me at least. I'm so glad to see the kids in here. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, like I said, if you're going to be successful, you got to learn how to discern. Some of you young people in here need to learn how to discern what is the truth on some of these things that people are saying today. There's nothing free. It may be free today, but it'll cost you in taxes tomorrow. Big time. The only thing that is truth is the Word of God. And it will guide, the truth will guide you in every area of your life, spiritually and emotionally, every area, physically, every area. Now, accepting information into our mind that is not true will influence us when something comes that is true. When lies are made to sound like truth, the only thing that we have a guarantee on in every situation is the truth of God's word. You know, a lot of people don't look into the Word of God until there's a crisis. But it's too late then. You need to daily grab a hold of the Word of God like your life depended on it. And it does. Our life, both naturally and spiritually, depends upon this Word, the Word of God. Psalm says it's a light unto our pathway. Or we might want to say it's a guide for us. It shows us where to go. You know, in Hebrews 2:1, it says this. I'm going to read from the NLT. So we listen very carefully to the truth we've heard. So we must listen very carefully to the truth we've heard, or we may drift away from it. Excuse me. Here the writer admonishes us to hold to the truth that we've heard. If he's admonishing us to hold to the truth we've heard because we may drift away from it, the way we would drift away from it is entertaining that is not true. The way the devil operates many times to get us away from the Word of God is he sends somebody across your path and they'll ask, well, now, do you really think that's true? Do you really think that the walls of Jericho fell down? You see, he wants to put a thought in your mind to get you to questioning the Word of God. If you've ever been to a trial in a courtroom, a prosecuting attorney will elicit an answer out of a witness knowing that it's going to get struck down. You know, the other attorney will say he objects, and the judge says, okay. And when they do that, there is a court reporter there that's recording everything. They'll strike that out of it. But you know what they can't do? They can't go take that thought out of the mind of those jurors. That's why the devil comes to us with untruths in the natural, because he wants to destroy us. He says he come to kill, steal, and destroy. That's why he comes to us with the thoughts, to get us to question the word of God, to question what God said. You know, we shouldn't accept anything that is said that is contrary to the word of God. You know, we've got to learn to discern the truth. Now, let's look at what happened in the word of God when somebody did not discern the truth. Numbers 13, the 12 spies. Number 13, 25 through 26. After exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned to Moses and Aaron, the whole community at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. They reported to the whole community to what they seen and showed them the fruit that they had taken in the land. Now, these 12 spies come back, but there's two different reports. The first report is the 10. Let's go and read the report here now. Numbers 13, 25 through 33. This was the report to Moses. We've entered the land you sent us to explore, and indeed it is a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here's the kind of fruit it produces. But the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw the giants there, the descendants of Anak. The Amalekites live in the Negev, and the Hittites and Jebusites and Amorites live in the hill country. The Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and along the Jordan Valley. Now that's the report of the 10. But Caleb tried to quieten the people as they stood before Moses. Let us go up once, take the land, say, we can conquer it. But the other men disagreed and said, we can't go up against them. They're stronger than we are. So they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. The land we traveled through and explored would devour anyone who lives there. All the people we saw were huge. Now it's really getting out of hand. They saw the giants, who's a small group. Now all the people we saw there. That's what happens with untruth. It expands. We saw the giants there, so forth. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers. And that's what they thought about us, too. How do they know what they thought? They didn't even talk to them. They were spies. You don't talk to them if you're spying on them. These 10 admitted everything that God said about the land was correct. But we are not able to possess the land. Their report focused on the opposition and the impossibility. The second report by Joshua and Caleb said this. The two men who had explored the land, Joshua, son of Nun, Caleb, son of Jephunneh, tore their clothes. They said to all the people of Israel, "The land we traveled through and explored is a wonderful land. If the Lord's pleased with us, he will bring us safely in that land and give it to us. It's rich. It is a rich land flowing with milk and honey. Do not rebel against the Lord. Don't be afraid of the people in the land. They are helpless. Pray for us. They have no protection, but the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them." Now here, they're not denying the fact that the guys are there. But they are saying and focusing on the truth of what God said. You see, they're focusing on the truth of what God had promised them is greater than the opposition. See, they were saying, if God said it, then we can do it. The spent 10 spies focused on the impossibility. Joshua and Caleb focused on the possibilities. It's a matter, when you listen to reports, it's how you focus, what you focus on, what you zero in on. You know, many people will say something that somebody said and the person said, "I didn't say that at all." Because they didn't listen to the entire thing. They only focused on one little part and didn't get the rest of it. Now here, the writer of Hebrews talks about the Israelites not making it into the land of Canaan. Here in Hebrews 3:15. It says this. I'll give you time to find it. Remember what it says. Today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts like Israel did when they rebelled. And who was it who rebelled against God, even though they heard his voice? Wasn't it the people Moses led out of Egypt? And who made God angry for 40 years? Wasn't it the people who sinned, whose corpse lay in the wilderness, and to whom God was speaking when he took an oath that they would never enter the rest? Wasn't it the people who disobeyed him? So we see that because of their unbelief, they were not able to enter his rest. I want you to notice the writer of Hebrews here called it a sin to not believe the truth of the Word of God. You know, he says here, they did not enter into the rest. In other words, they've been out here traveling, going from Egypt to there. They get to the edge of the promised land and they refuse to go in where they would have found rest, plenty of food, plenty of water, everything. But they refuse. Now you go on into Hebrews 4:1. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have to come up short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. It's saying here, hey, don't let us be like them and not believe the true report, but believe a false report. Because they did not believe the good truth, they did enter the promised land. Let's read that from the NLT, that same scripture I just read, 4:1-2. God's promise of entering his rest still stands, so we ought to tremble with fear that some of you might fail to experience it. This is the writer of Hebrews talking. For this good news that God has prepared this rest has been announced to us just as it was to them. But it did them no good because they didn't share the faith of those who listened to God. Now, who's it talking about? those that shared the faith. And it was talking about Caleb and Joshua. They're the only two of the old crowd that went in, and they went in because they believed the truth of God's word and said, we can do it. In fact, if you'll go on reading those numbers 13 and 14 there, you'll find out that God had to come down and supernaturally intervene to keep them from stoning Joshua and Caleb because they wanted to believe the truth. When you start believing the truth and voicing it, you will have opposition in the spirit world, it with supposed to be spiritual people, but you'll sure have it in the natural world if you say anything against something. See, the reason they didn't go in, they believed the wrong report. They believed the report of the 10 that said, we can't. Joshua and Caleb said, we can. I say this many times when I'm teaching on faith. I remember very distinctly, Miss Fowler, my first grade teacher, we had blackboards back in there with white chalk. We didn't have the dry erase boards like you people got now. Then after the blackboards come the green boards, they still had the white chalk though. And for you young people who don't know anything about it, if you did bad in class, one of the things that you got disciplined with is that you had to clean the erasers. If you want to get choked up with dust and go home with white all over your clothes, and you can't tell your mom that you didn't get in trouble because she can see it. Because when you beat those erasers together to get all that white chalk dust out of them, it gets all over everything. And you went outside to do it. You didn't do it inside the room. You see, Miss Fowler wrote on the blackboard because she asked Jack something and he said, I can't. And she went to that blackboard and she said, I want to teach you kids something right now. And in real large letters, she wrote, never say, I can't. And later on, playing sports, I heard coaches say, don't say you can't, say you can. Believe you can. And I heard my dad say it many, many times, you got to believe it before you can have it. You know, the majority is not always right. Abraham Lincoln, they said Abraham Lincoln said this. I don't know, but it's sort of funny. He said, how many legs does a dog have if you call his tail a leg? And he said, four. Saying that a tail is a leg doesn't make it a leg. We got to realize what some of these people say about the Bible, about the things of God, what people are saying in the natural about things, just because they say it doesn't make it so. Just like I said with these right here. This is better because of the face shield. It's not true. People can say whatever they want to, but does it make it truth? People say certain things and they quote a scripture and then they quote another scripture and call it truth. It's not truth. They're taking two scriptures and putting them together. You can prove anything with the scripture, but it's not true. I can prove that. The Bible said you're supposed to go hang yourself, because it says Judas hanged himself, and the Bible says go thou and do likewise. So you're supposed to go hang yourself. Now we laugh about that, and it is sort of silly, but what I'm trying to get across to you is you're going to have to decipher truth. Just because somebody says this and this and adds them together, that don't make it truth. You know, just because the majority of the people call it right when it's wrong doesn't make it right. It's still wrong. You know, the Hebrews writer here warned us to make sure we believe the truth of God's word so we don't fail to experience his promises. You know, Paul was on a ship, okay, in Acts 27, 9 through 15. And when much time had been spent and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over, and Paul advised them, saying, "Men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only the cargo and ship, but our lives." Now, he said he perceived this. How did he perceive that? He didn't get the Lord. He didn't get a word from the Lord. How did he perceive that? From the Spirit on the inside of him. See, we need to learn to be sensitive to the Spirit. I've heard my dad say it many, 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 many times. He said, we need to be more sensitive to the Spirit on the inside of us. If we would, it would keep us out of trouble. And he was always that way. I've told this before, but I tell it again. I remember one time we started to go somewhere, and he said, no, we can't go. Go back in the house. And a little bit later, we left. And when we got to a certain place, there was a huge accident. And he said this, and he was teaching us, you know, me and my sis. He said, this is why I couldn't leave before. I mean, we were already in the car, and he was talking to the ministers that we had stopped there. He was talking to them. And then and he told us, get out. We got to go. We can't go yet. Now, he said we'd have been right here, right in the middle of this, if we'd have left then. Now, and I asked him years later about that. I said, Dad, did the Lord say? He said, no, just in my spirit, there was something. Don't leave now. We need to learn to listen to our spirit. I know a minister that had three automobile accidents. The last one almost killed his wife and him. And I remember him telling my dad after he'd heard Dad talking, and Dad preached for a homie time. Finally, he said, you know, I got a hold of what you was talking about. He said, you know, I wouldn't have had any one of those accidents if I'd have just listened to that spirit on the inside. And I kept, oh, that's just me. That's just my silly thinking. Hey, better learn how to perceive the truth. Now, you can go ahead and read this story. And they went on, and they persuaded the owner of the ship and everybody to go ahead anyway. And they said, this is not a good harbor to stay in the wintertime. So they went on, and you know what the story is. They did. They lost the ship. They lost everything. But they didn't lose any men's life. Now, the Lord did speak to him. Sent an angel, told him, said, you're going to lose the ship, you're going to lose everything, but there won't be any lives lost. And he stood and told him on the deck of that ship, I believe. That's all it comes down to. I believe. What did he believe? What God said. We believe the truth. When God says it, it's the truth. See, we need to be sensitive to the greater one on the inside of us rather than everything else. You know, I want us to, real quick here, because I got 5 minutes. I want us to look at some guidelines for discerning truth. Now, this is both spiritual and natural, okay? let the report be confirmed by several sources. And Paul said, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. And then, don't be in a hurry to accept something as being truth just because somebody said it. In Isaiah 28:16, it says, whoever believes will not act hastily or quickly. Make sure the report is from a credible source, not just hearsay or someone's agenda. Now, when it comes to the things of God, make sure the report reflects what God has promised you. They may be telling you that it won't work, but God said it will. You know, that'll work for you. What God said will work for you if you will listen to Him on investments, on buying things. See, it says, don't be in a hurry. Just because somebody told me, oh, if you don't buy today, I can't give you this price. If anybody says that to me, I won't buy for sure. Because all they're trying to do is manipulate me. But people will believe that. Many years ago, when we were doing we had to do everything with tape. And we would buy these huge rolls of Memrex tape, recording tape. And then we would record it, and then you'd load it on. First of all, we had reel-to-reel stuff. And then after that, you'd record it, and then you'd load it on the cassettes. And the fellas in charge that came to me, and he said, oh, hey, the salesman came to me and said, there going to be a big price increase. And if we'll buy this now, we can get this discount, blah, 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 blah. I said, well, we're not. I said, number one, go check somebody else. Check another company. They got the same stuff, same quality and everything. So he got to checking around, and he found out there wasn't going to be no price. In fact, he talked to another salesman for the same company, and the guy said, no, there's not going to be no sales. There's not going to be no price increase. See, he was using mistruth to manipulate. That's what people do in the natural. Satan does that on the spiritual side. Will tell you things to manipulate you. Oh, he'll say to you, I wouldn't go back to church. You know, when you walked in, that group over there that's your friends, if you noticed, they were all talking, and when you walked up, they all shut up. They were talking about you. I'm talking about getting you out of church. I know people that have quit going to church. Because, well, the pastor just walked by me and didn't even say hello. Well, there's sometimes I walk in from where I park and I walk down that back hall coming to the speaker's room. I'm thinking about my message. I'm thinking about everything. I may see somebody, but I don't see them. Because I am tunnel focused on the service. And just because I didn't speak to him, but the devil can take that and use that to get somebody out of church. You see, what I'm trying to tell you is make sure that you know what's going on. Now, let me close with this. There are benefits from discerning the real truth. When you discern the real truth, it sets you free. from fear. Okay? When you learn the real truth, it safeguards you from being deceived. And when you know the truth, it frees you from worry and doubt. You know, there's just a few things I wanted to talk to you tonight about discerning the real truth, both in the natural and in the spiritual. We need to renew our minds with the Word of God continually. Anytime anything comes, let's learn to discern the truth. What's the real truth? I see too many people in the spiritual realm, in the church, that just because so-and-so said something, they take it for truth, fact. Well, wait a minute. Somebody said, well, so-and-so said I should do this. And this was a fellow, a pastor in a church, and somebody told him, said, I believe the Lord is saying that you're supposed to leave this church. He did, just because that person's, and they're supposed to have been a famous person, said that. It wasn't the truth. Anytime anybody says anything to you, well, the Lord said, if it isn't something he's already been dealing with you about, put it on the shelf. And when he deals with you about it, okay, now I'll do it. Come on. Anybody get anything out of this tonight? Say it with me. Discerning the real truth will set me free. In the natural and in the spiritual. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Everybody stand up. Let's thank God for the truth. Father, I pray that you'd help us to learn how to discern the truth in every area of life. You want us to be successful, but we can't be successful if we don't know the truth. And we ask you to help us to know the truth in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Well, I like to not have a service that I don't give an opportunity for somebody to find Jesus or rededicate their life. And I can't give a normal type of altar call. You that are watching, some of you may need to rededicate your life. Some of you may have been never accepted Christ. I'm going to say a prayer. I'm going to ask this congregation to repeat it after me. And if you need to repeat it, you can too. If you're in this congregation and you need to rededicate your life, let this be a prayer of rededication. If you need to accept Christ, let it be a prayer of accepting Christ. Repeat this after me. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I believe he's the Son of God. I believe he came to this earth. He lived. He died. He rose again for my salvation. You said in your holy word that if I would believe those things in my heart and confess them with my mouth, I would be saved. I thank you now. I'm a new person in Christ Jesus. Amen and amen and amen. If you're watching us and you prayed that prayer with us for the first time or rededication, if you go to your computer or your device and just write to us, partnerservices@arema.org. Tell us about it. We'll be glad to contact you and talk with you.